And welcome to the Big City Mountaineers 20th Anniversary Audio History Project. Today, we are interviewing BCM founder Jim Kern about the beginnings of BCM. We've asked Jim where the idea came from and how it grew from a family project to a fully realized nonprofit organization.
I was very active in community service. I was an elder in the Presbyterian Church. I was on the board of the Tropical Audubon Society. I was of the Museum of Science and Natural History, and so on. And then I moved out in the rural section of Dade County, and it was too far for me to commute to some of these organizations I was serving, and I opted out. But years went by, and I felt that I had a need to be contributing more to society, and I didn't know how to do it. I was very interested in birding. I was interested in wildlife photography. I was interested in hiking. And I had some land, and I volunteered to take some kids from a Catholic orphanage to this wilderness land I owned for a camping experience. And I think they were suspicious that, they were looking a gift horse in the mouth, and I think they were anxious about just who I was, and they rejected my offer. I did the same thing for Dade Marine Institutes that was serving disadvantaged kids. I offered my services at 4 or 5 or 6 different nonprofits, and it was just that somehow or another doors were closed, and nobody was interested in me. And I was offering my talents free. And I had this 400-acre wilderness land that, was ideal to explore. And so it was a puzzle. Along about that time, there was a full-page ad in the Miami Herald, and it said that if you bought a ticket to one of the following western cities, you would get a child's ticket for $1. Immediately, uh-huh. I looked through the cities to see if there was any place in the mountains where I could go hiking. And there was Missoula, Montana. So that meant I could take one of my 3 sons for $1. And I called up a friend of mine in the same business I was in, which was industrial and commercial real estate brokerage. I was in land that was industrial or commercial. So I asked this fellow, Jerry Galt, if he would like to go hiking in the West in the summer that was coming up. This was in the spring. He said, yes. I said, all right, now look, there's going to be a ticket for $1. That you can get. And if you don't mind, because he was unmarried and had no kids, I said, I'd like to invite one of my kids. I'd like to ask him if he would like to invite a friend. Mm-hmm. So Jerry said, that's fine with me. So I asked my son, the chosen son for this event, Drew, if Drew wanted to invite a friend to go hiking. And he said, yes. So he invited a friend who couldn't come. And he invited another friend who couldn't come. He may have invited a third friend, I don't remember. But anyway, his friends didn't want to go with him, or couldn't, or whatever. And so I asked a lady I knew who was running a program for inner-city kids if she could find a deserving young teenager to go with us. So she reported back in a few days that she could do that. So I then went to Drew, and I said, Drew, here's what we could do. We could ask a deserving young guy about your age to come with us, but it's going to have to be the two of us because you're going to have to pal around with him for 8, 9, 10 days. Is that okay with you? And he said it was. So I notified this lady that she could go ahead and tell that boy that we would take him. And so the four of us, this colleague of mine, Drew, and this young lad who was 13, big for his age, but he was only 13, and Drew was 15. And that was our group. He was back. His mother had left the home because she was being abused. She was in a shelter with him. And so the four of us took off with these two $1 tickets, went to Missoula, Montana, rented a car, and we went hiking in the Mission Range north of Missoula. And while I was on that trip, I thought, why not take this idea and expand it and come up with a program where the middle class, upper middle class, professional people could take disadvantaged teens from the cities on a high adventure trip. And that was the germ of an idea that became Big City Mountaineers. We just, you know, we found these kids, but it was a learning curve, and it took us a while to work out a formula. And we found out that 5 and 5 worked best, 5 teens and 5 adults. We found out that when the teens came from an organization, we had to have a counselor come with them. We didn't know that in the beginning, but it was essential because we needed the continuity of an adult who knew the teens, knew what they could do, knew how to handle them when something erupted. And we had some painful experiences working with kids with problems, you know, of all kinds. We had sometimes the courts had to approve the kid leaving town because they'd gotten in trouble. So we had all kinds of issues to deal with. They had meds and they had pills to take. And, you know, we were just business people that were willing to devote 8 days, you know, to serving teens, and we weren't, this wasn't our field. But, so there was a lot of pain in the beginning, but we worked out the bugs, and the organization grew. But in the beginning, I was, my oldest son, Jim, he was the leader on one trip. I remember that was the first trip, maybe the third year, where I wasn't the leader of the group. I've been on 20 trips. I don't know. I'm kind of curious to know if any adult has been on more trips than I have. I don't know that. But anyway, I've been on 20 trips. You know, this is an expensive program. Just setting aside 5 well-educated, professional-type people to give 8 days of their year to something like this, if you put a monetary value on that, it's very high. The equipment is all first class. People come from all over. There's a very large transportation cost. It's not an inexpensive program. We offer this program to kids from among the disadvantaged who are showing promise. We depend upon the organizations we work with to handpick those kids. And if it's done properly and if they're wise and they make good choices, then this is a wonderful fit. And we get a chance to offer those kids a really, truly outstanding experience. We know the trails. We know where we're going. This is our business. We have a product to offer deserving kids. We take good care of them in the wilderness. I remember we had kids ready to go. We'd locked the cars. Our backpacks were on our back. The adults were standing there. The teens were standing there. We're about ready to leave our cars, get on the trail, and walk away. And this one teen is standing there looking at the rest of us, and he looks up ahead. He sees where the trail is, where we're going to go. And all of a sudden it dawns on him, and he says to me, "Where are we going to go to the bathroom?" They have never ducked their head into a national forest to see what it's like, let alone spend 5 days hiking there with everything that they need on their back. It's a once-in-a-lifetime experience for most of them. I think one of the most wonderful things, this has happened several times, is to see a teen who we've taken out stay in touch with us and come back as part of the adult team. What a thrill that is. I had no idea it would be so rewarding for the adult leaders. To me, it looked like a service chore or something you did because you wanted to help your community. You wanted to help kids that have not been dealt a very good hand, a bad hand. You wanted to noblesse oblige. You wanted to, you sensed that you had been given much, and from those who have given much, much is expected, and that kind of thing. But this turns out to be a very educational and even emotional experience for the adults, because in getting to know kids from a class of society that they've never rubbed elbows with before and getting to know them well, it's enriching, it's expanding, and it's wrenching also. It's, you learn to appreciate how much you have when you talk to kids who have not had the benefits that you've had, who have not had the hand up that you've had. And it's all in a very emotional context because there are no distractions. When you're on the trail, when you're out for 5 days with a group of 5 adults and 5 teens, the phone doesn't ring. There's no traffic noise. There's no television. There are no cell phones. And you get a chance to get to know others. And that includes, by the way, the other adult leaders. So there's a real camaraderie that builds all the way around. And it just turns out to be a very wonderful experience. I talked a young man into coming onto the board once, and I said, before you do this, Paul, you're going to have to go on a trip. So he was a city boy, very bright lawyer, never done anything like this before. When he got back home, he couldn't even talk to his wife about his hike without having tears in his eyes. Now, you know, that's a surprise it was to me, and that's the way it is. It's an experience you don't anticipate of getting to know people you didn't know you could share 5 days with and benefit from the way you did.